Good morning. I'm glad to welcome you to our worship service this morning and glad to welcome all of you at home as well. We're glad you're here, and I'll remind you at home that we will be having communion later in our worship, and we invite you to get your elements ready there at home to take communion with us here. I'll remind you once again of our Wednesday Vespers service at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Again, that is online only, so we invite you to join us online and be part of that as well. Also, we'll remind you that every year we celebrate a community Thanksgiving service. Our church and several others around the community join together as we give thanks to God for all our blessings. We're doing that again. But once again, it will be online only, and it will be broadcast on Wednesday, November 25th, the day before Thanksgiving. We think that's actually going to provide you a great opportunity if you are gathering with family, that you could watch it with your family, or even tune in on Thanksgiving Day and watch it with your family. Wouldn't that be a neat thing to do? So I know this year is not always great to gather as families, but if you are gathering, that gives you an opportunity to worship together as well. I think I have many other things to talk about, but what I learned a week or so ago was I'm not allowed to talk about those things because apparently I don't know anything about those, but Vicar Amanda does, so I'll call on Vicar Amanda.
Pastor Gary.
Glad you know my name. Okay.
The things that I would like to talk about are our giving tree and the Williamsburg Christmas party that this church so generously provides each year. So we've had to move those things online because we are not wanting to encourage any close gathering out in the Narthex area. So in the Go and Serve, there is a link to the online the online giving tree. And so it's a sign-up genius form. It takes you to a website that you click which item you want to provide. You put your email address in, and then you bring the items to the church no later than December 13th. Is that right, Becky? Okay. So that's the giving tree that we normally do, and that's for families in need that are a part of our preschool, but also clients of Sharing God's Love. And so those are people right in our community that's providing Christmas for. In addition to that, I know that Redeemer has been encouraged to give also monetary gifts because we give the family a Walmart gift card to purchase things that they might need that we wouldn't necessarily think of, or maybe that they didn't feel comfortable putting on the list or something like that. So that's the giving tree. The Williamsburg Christmas party, we're not able to gather with those kiddos this year. We want to make sure that everyone is safe from here, but also down there in Williamsburg County, over there in Williamsburg County.
Kind of over and down.
Over and down. In Williamsburg County. So that one we also will have an online sign up for as well. There is a link on our Facebook page right now, but we'll get that out in the Go and Serve. It's the same sort of deal. We're going to do bags for the kiddos. I know Miss Nan is going to be making some goodies for them. So it's a drive-through Christmas party where they'll drive through and get a bag and a hot dog and some goodies and have some toys to celebrate Christmas with. So we are so thankful for all of your generosity. And if you have any questions about either of those things, feel free to come talk to me or email me. Or with the Giving Tree, you can talk to Becky as well. Are all those the things that you aren't allowed to talk about that I'm
yes.
supposed to talk about? Is
yes.
there anything else?
Well, I was just going to ask their sympathy if I come in and I got a big welt on my hand.
Mm-hmm.
That was where Nan whacked me with the spatula when I was trying to grab some of those goodies she's about to make.
Those are not for you. Those are not for you.
I'm just saying.
I'm with you, Nan.
Let us prepare for our worship with our confession and forgiveness. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, in whose image we are made, who claims us and calls us beloved. Amen. Holy One, we confess that we are not open to you. We are not faithful in using your gifts. We forget the least of those among us. We do not see your image in one another. We are infected by sin that divides your loved community. Open our hearts to your coming. Open our eyes to see you in our neighbor. Open our hands to serve your creation. Amen. Beloved, we are God's children, and through Jesus you are forgiven. Let us live in the promises prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Be with you. Let us pray. Righteous God, our merciful Master, you own the earth and all its peoples, and you give us all that we have. Inspire us to serve you with justice and wisdom, and prepare us for the joy of the day of your coming. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Be seated, and with the children, please come forward. And good morning to all the boys and girls watching online. You can see I have here a big pot of water. And I need to get that pot into this pitcher. Not the pot, the water, it's in the pot. Into the pitcher. Now, I could try to pour it, couldn't I? But it'd make a pretty big mess, I think, because I'm not very good at that. But that's okay, because I brought this scoop that I can scoop it up one little cup at a time and put it in there. Doesn't that's going to work, right? All right, so let me get that a little closer so I don't really drip everywhere. There ain't nothing in my scoop. Why is that happening? There's holes in the spoon. You're right. You can see the spoon. I'm not getting much water out of that at all. I'm going to have trouble emptying this pot into this thing using this. And I wanted to show this to you. It's a very simple thing today. I wanted to show this to you because I could dip this for, 2 hours and not get all the stuff in here into that pitcher. Yeah, maybe a drop or two each time, but that's about it. And this reminds me of us. Because you know what? Every week, you and all these other people come here and we tell you that Jesus loves you. That's an important thing, right? Yes. But you know what? By next week, you come back again. You know why? Because we have holes and it all leaks out. We forget all about it. We're just like this strainer right here. We forget. And so we come back over and over and over to be reminded that Jesus loves us. And there's all sorts of things in this building that help us remember that too. The banners on the walls, the colors on the altar, the communion, all of those are ways that we say over and over and over that Jesus loves us, and it helps us remember. Because I leak. And, I think we all do, and we need those reminders over and over and over. So that's what I want you to remember today. I'm going to put that in there. All right, let's have our prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us and especially for reminding us in many, many ways of your love. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
First lesson, a reading from Zephaniah. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guest. At that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who rest complacently on their dregs. Those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do harm. Their wealth shall be plundered, their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The warrior cries aloud there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring such distress upon people that they shall walk like the blind because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his passion, the whole earth shall be consumed. For a terrible end he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of these slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return, I would have received what is my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for the worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning. It's so good to be with all of you this morning, those that are here with us in person and those that are online as well. So today we're talking about abundance. And when you think of the word abundance, what comes to mind for you? No, really, I'm curious. Does anybody have anything that comes to mind when I say abundance? Food. All right. If you're online, you can type it into the comment section and Pastor Gary will read it. Plenty.
America.
America.
More than enough.
More than enough.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Anything else? Anything online yet?
Not yet.
All right, we have a little bit of a delay, and that's okay. So, I appreciate you guys sharing. And I know that when I think of abundance, I should probably be thinking of churchy, faith, Jesus-y things. But for some reason, oh, yep.
One just came in that says toilet paper.
Toilet paper. Sometimes, one, but not in 2020.
Another one says blessed.
Blessed. Blessed. Nice. Thank you, friends. That wasn't expected. Yeah, I like that. That's good. So, that's a good giggle during a sermon that's really serious, huh? So, I know that when we think about abundance, I know that my mind should go to the churchy, faith, Jesus-y things, but for some reason, when I think of abundance, a memory of tomatoes pops up for me. And when our family lived in rural Wisconsin, there were so many people with farms, or at least large gardens. And so, oh, is there another one? No? Okay. All right. So, one member of the church that I serve asked me one day that if I wanted some tomatoes that they have an overabundance of. Their family had canned all the tomatoes that they could, and they wanted to share. And so I thought this abundance of tomatoes, this overabundance, was going to be a box of tomatoes. No. No, at the end of a workday at church, I looked in the bed of the pickup truck that we had, and it was full of many boxes of tomatoes, overflowing boxes of tomatoes. And I have never seen so many tomatoes or smelled them in my kitchen for so long. A really long time. Abundance. Abundance can be Thanksgiving. Abundance can be an abundance of food or freedom or what we experience in America. It can be an abundance of tomatoes. And in our gospel reading for today, there is an abundance. It's another parable, and it's a story that Jesus told, and there's abundance in it, isn't there? It's also a challenging parable. And for several weeks now, Pastor Gary and I have been preaching on parables that talk about what the kingdom of God is like. And yes, it's about abundance. But it also tells us what the kingdom of God is like in indirect ways as well. So today, we hear about the abundance of money. A man is going on a journey and leaves three servants with talents. And that's a unit of money for that day. And we learn about the man's abundant wealth. The first servant has five talents, the second servant has two, and the third has one talent to manage. And to put this abundance in perspective for us, one talent is worth approximately 20 years of wages for the average laborer in that day. Yep, keep doing that math in your head. So 20 years, that means that the first servant that had five talents had about 100 years worth of wages to manage. In today's standards, we're talking millions of dollars. Abundance, right? And I know that I hear this story about money and about management and burying some in the ground, and I can't help but hear, okay, this parable's about business and managing our resources wisely. But I don't think that this story is a nod to capitalism and business ventures. Not that there's anything wrong with those. So if it's not about this parable about money, then what is it that we're talking about? The master's going away for a long time, but the master will be back. Those who work under the master are entrusted with his property to manage. And there is an abundance, a truly radical, ridiculous amount. Two of the workers multiply what they are entrusted with, and one simply keeps it safe, buries it, hides it until the master returns. And I wonder, is this story about Jesus and his followers? Jesus ascended into heaven, but Jesus said that he would return. He called his followers to emulate his life in the world, and he entrusted the gospel to his disciples. Here there is also abundance, a truly radical, ridiculous amount of God's grace and God's mercy and God's love. Then what happens? The disciples, they go out into the world, and they were charged with imitating the life of Jesus, preaching the good news, visiting the sick and imprisoned, clothing the naked, welcoming the stranger, feeding the hungry, teaching, and baptizing. All of these in the light of God's abundant grace and mercy and love. It's something for us to think about. The call of the church, of us, between when Jesus ascended and when he returns. Just as the early church lived in that space, we do too, all of us. So what does it look like for us to live in this parable as well? What does it look like for us to be entrusted with something like God's grace? It's not something that we created or that we own. But like the servants of the parable, God entrusts us to share God's grace with the world. And we have a choice, right? We can go out amongst the world with that grace. We can live in response to God's constant desire for relationship with us. We can share that with others. And we can build community based on the grace of God. Or we could take the path that the last servant took, and we can hold tight to that grace. We could bury it deep. We could guard it. We could just wait. In a similar situation, we have God's mercy. We're called to be merciful and share God's mercy in all the world. We can use this to guide our lives and our relationships, to forgive others as God has forgiven us, to live a life in tune with the brokenness of the world, yet meet it with the mercy beyond measure. Or God's mercy can be kept close, hidden, and buried down in a pit. And what about God's love? God's love overflows and it pours over us constantly. We cannot even fathom the love that God has for each of us. Just like Pastor Gary talked about in his children's sermon, we have to be reminded of that over and over and over again. And what a wonderful thing to be reminded of. Christ calls us to love God and to love others. We're entrusted to share God's love with the world. Are we going to bury it? Are we going to hide it away? Are we going to keep it to ourselves? Are we going to share it with only those that it's convenient to share it with? Are we sharing God's love only with people we think are worthy of it? Are we going to share it when it benefits us? Or share it when there's no risk to our social status or financial standing? I know those examples are rarely intentional, but I know that I'm guilty of allowing them to happen at times in my life. What does it look like to choose the path of the other two servants? What does it look like to share God's radical, ridiculous amount of love with everyone? And here's the first example that came to my mind when I was thinking about this. Maybe sharing God's radical, ridiculous amount of love looks like building a box and then planting it in the parking lot and then filling it with food and then filling it again and then again and then again and asking people to take what they need. And then when we encounter those people, have conversations with them and listening to their stories and learning how hunger affects their family and letting God's love stir in our hearts and then finding more ways to meet our neighbor's needs and build community with them and love them as God loves all of us. That's abundance. And there are abundant examples of what God's love looks like when it's multiplied in the world. It looks like hungry people being fed around the world. It looks like people experiencing homelessness having their needs met with shoes and shirts and community. It looks like working for all the world to have access to clean water. For those in Flint, Michigan, all the way to those in rural Africa and everywhere in between. It looks like caring for the sick during a pandemic and all other times as well, and sitting with the lonely, even when it has to be on the other side of a window. It looks like refugees being granted safety and security and a loving community. And friends, it can look like all of this and so much more. For God's love is radically, ridiculously abundant. Even more than the ridiculous amount of tomatoes I had in the back of my truck that year. God's love is abundant for you, for me, and for all people everywhere. If you don't hear anything else from this sermon or any other sermons, know that God loves you in radically and ridiculously amounts of ways and means all the time. Don't let fear tempt you to bury, hide, or guard God's love. For there is plenty, there is an abundance, and God is calling you to share it. Amen.
Thank you.
Please rise. Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Faithful God, you promised to dwell among us. Strengthen us now through your word and sacrament and our fellowship together, that we may stand for hope amid life's trials and victories. May we shine with your light for all the world to see. Lord, in your mercy, you have blessed us richly, generous God. You have given us a wealth of resources and unending talents. Even more, you have blessed us with your love. Bless this congregation here and now. Lead us continually to offer what we have and who we are in service to you. Fill us with generosity and compassion for others. Lord, in your mercy, loving Savior, you fill our lives with joy, and you reach into our needs with comfort and help. Bless those who are ill, in sorrow, facing addictions, or who struggle with life in any way. Bless all your people, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy. Finally, God of love, we thank you for the gift of forgiveness in this meal of grace. We know that we are broken creatures in a broken world. Restore us, lead us in true repentance, and fill us with joy in receiving you. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. The Lord be with you.
And also Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in this simple meal, you have set a banquet. Sustain us on the journey. Strengthen us to care for the least of your beloved children. And give us glad and generous hearts as we meet you on the way. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.